Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From the first class, not in Spunk Bubble Lounge, here at Heathrow's terminally low budget lounge, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, which we firmly believe, be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and joining me to jump 140 million years into the past for a nice glass of Shiraz, our Concord captain, Tom Neenan.
Hello.
And Concordia captain, Paul Litchfield. That was the boat that sank.
Yeah.
So please place your tray tables in their upright position.
Hey.
Pour yourself a Xerophin and Plasma Tonic.
Ooh.
Ignore the haters.
Ah.
And remember, we built on this city with frocks and rolls.
Hey.
Stewardess is serving bread, I wrote in brackets.
Right.
As we go walking in the air with Khalid Jones and have a master debate. Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's time flies.
Yes. And can I just say right under the top, John, I just, well done for taking this on, because it's fucking insane and it makes no sense. So hats off.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to do this.
Nope.
Well, I took one for the team.
You certainly did, didn't you? And in your intro, you didn't even mention cockpit. Well done.
Didn't, no. You said that outside when we were on a break and I was annoyed.
I just showed you cockpit really loud. It's Hackney Wick, it's cool.
But before we get into what's going on in the bloody Concord, we should find out what's bloody going on telly.
Well, let me bloody well tell you. By the way, it's a bloody well love the show. It's Monday the 22nd of March, 1982.
Oh.
BBC One begins at 6:40, of course, with Open University. Courses include The Unknown and Strawberry Hill.
What?
How's that a course?
Unknown?
Wasn't that an Eminem song?
Do you have to find your freedom? Is it? I found my freedom. Oh, no, that's Blueberry Hill. I don't know.
That was Fats Domino, wasn't it?
Yes, Fats Domino. I got a woman pregnant. Her name is Rose Hill. She's the mum in Hello.
Oh, she is.
Edith the Flushing Nubs.
Fats Domino has got me pregnant.
Fats the Domino has got me up as a duffer. Hello, since we last met, my mother-in-law's been having sex with Fats Domino. So one was a bigger bollocks.
And then the chubby checker come along.
But the chubby checker with the Paula Madonna was...
We've been hiding Fats Domino and chubby checker from the Nazis.
Then a big old plank of wood.
Mother-in-law's having sex with both of them. And he's now pregnant.
He is.
I don't care.
A big old plank of wood coming hit me on the head. Anyway, a big old dent in my skull.
That was Open University.
Yeah.
Then it's straight into schools and colleges.
Okay.
Courses including hairdressing, India, and bowls.
Bowls?
Bowls.
Bowls?
Bowls. Bowls, as in...
Bowling?
Red. No, bowls.
As in male cow.
Bullfighting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bowls.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it was Pebble Mill at one.
Oh, nice.
By the way, a Dutch swing band drops in.
You put Dutch in front of anything. It sounds sordid.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We are a Dutch swing band.
Hi, we're Dutch swing band.
We play jazz while the drummer shits on a lady.
Yeah.
Did you say sits on a lady? No.
Not quite. Do you mind if we make sweet love in front of the camera? Judy Spies, you're welcome to join in.
She bloody would as well.
She would as well. Right, well, Raver Spies. I should know. I work with her. No.
Spies, because she likes it at the top of the cathedral.
After Peppermint at one, back to schools and colleges again.
Oh,
God, it's all about education, wasn't it?
Ooh, Reithian.
1982.
Yeah.
What was on? Oh, words, geography, and NASA.
Words, geography, and NASA.
NASA. That's
a Cher song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Words. John Graffina, sir.
People of the town may call us.
Lentils, trees, and flambard themes, etc.
And when the people want me down.
Is that?
Polos, trains, and jeans.
Poodles. And
love it. All you got to do is think of three things. Can't be done. Poodles. No, I'm gone.
I'm surprised you didn't say banana.
Bananas.
Tramps and trees. Yeah. No, you can't say tramps.
No, it's in there.
No, start again.
You see, it's hard. The rules are. Hard. They can't be connected in any way.
Trombones, plants and beans.
But plants aren't.
Not an ideal meal situation. But I had them anyway.
Was that Peppermint at one?
That was Peppermint. Yeah. No, no, no. That's schools and colleges. Oh, yeah. After that was Songs of Praise. Oh. Not in Scotland.
Songs of Praise about God and happiness.
God and laughter. Or we need to judge you quietly. Why is Songs of Praise on a bloody Monday, by the way? A Monday.
Was it? Oh, of course, because this is the 80s, isn't it?
You know it's going to be shit, because Doctor Who's on a Monday. Oh. Doctor Who should never be on a Monday.
A Monday. Unless it's Christmas Day falls on a Monday.
Sure.
That's the only
But it ain't. It's March 1982. No. A Monday. Come on.
I mean, they'd seen time fly.
Yeah. Christ. After Songs of Praise was Jack Onori.
Oh.
Read by Neris Hughes.
Oh.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Very
what was
nice.
She was
a district nurse.
District nurse.
Hello, I'm the district nurse.
I've come to euthanize your father.
Come to circumcise your son. He's 19. Yeah, I know.
Cup of tea while you're doing all that. It'd be lovely. It's so cold out there.
Cold out there,
I've got to circumcise your son and then euthanize your father.
Oh, no, I got them mixed up.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's me, old district nurse.
Cut off your father's head and killed your son's penis.
Euthanize your son's dick. Oh, dear. I'm all of a dither. Still, cup of tea will help. End of that episode. Yeah. Next week, Neris kills 4,000.
That's one of those things that was on when I was little, but somehow managed to never ever
Same.
Watch it.
Mm. Yeah, always managed to dodge that one.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway, after Jack and Nori, Doctor Who time flight at 5 to 7.
That's about right. Oh.
So it's edging towards 8. No, it's like 7:30 when this is
ending.
Yeah.
There is a write up for you, of course, Tom.
Yeah.
When a speedbird Concorde disappears back through a crack of time, the Doctor takes another Concorde to follow its trail, unaware that a mysterious conjurer Khalid awaits for him.
So fucking stupid.
Why would you take another?
This isn't one of my questions.
Take the fucking TARDIS. Yeah. Anyway.
No, just the idea is 7:30. You've just finished episode one of Time Flies. Now have a bath and go to bed. You've got Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, you've got Tuesday to deal
tomorrow.
With.
Yeah, it's school tomorrow and it's Tuesday.
You've got Tuesday to deal with. You've got that episode we just shouldn't have to deal with.
Yeah. I'll let you stay up late.
Now get to bed.
Yeah.
Imagine as well, the week before you'd have had fucking Adric Kark in it.
Yeah.
And you've got Concords going.
Yeah.
Come on.
After Doctor Who was Brett Maverick.
Ah, nice. Ooh.
Yeah, I think you'll like this one. Brett Maverick's sweet deal in Tucson, Arizona is not so sweet. It's Mrs. Brett Maverick.
Ooh.
Fun fact about Maverick.
Yeah.
James Garner leaves, right?
Right.
You know who replaced him?
Sally Gunnell.
No, Roger Moore.
Whoa!
No. He was his cousin.
A woman. Oh, nice. Because obviously James Garner replaced Paul Ritter when he died in 8 Simple Rules. So he's constantly being replaced or replacing people.
You mean John Ritter?
What did I say?
Paul Ritter.
Oh, no, they both died, didn't they? Oh, no, I feel bad now.
Maybe I misheard you. Everyone at home, listen back.
No, I think I made a mistake. Sadly, 2 patriarchs in sitcoms who died far too young. Yeah. But yeah, I meant John Ritter.
So Roger Moore took over? One series, I presume.
Yeah, I think I don't know how many, but it was when he was a contract player in America.
Hello,
I'm
Brett Maverick.
I think he started off as like in Ivanhoe. Or
something. Oh, okay, yes, lovely.
Mm.
After Brett Maverick, 9 o'clock panorama. Very very simple topic. Should we trust Russia?
Well, ooh, no.
Well. Hello, this is 2024 calling. Oh, we still don't know.
hey, this is 1950s. England. Yeah. Yeah. No, we shouldn't.
Yeah. After that was Police, a documentary. We've covered this before.
Oh, yeah.
This time, it's the series is finished. So now Ludwig Kennedy, Roy Hattersley, and John Craven are going to look back at the issues raised by the series.
What a weird trio.
Ludwig Kennedy, Roy
Imagine Roy Hattersley saying the word police.
Yeah.
Police. Oh, it'd be drenched.
John Craven the Hunter as well. He was Spider-Man for them, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I think old Aaron Taylor-Johnson is playing him in a film this year.
He is. He's got a bit of
John Craven the Hunter.
Yeah, in the daytime he reads children's news and in the evening he hunts animals in the safari.
For their pelts.
In the safari? For their pelts.
Yeah.
For their pelts.
Okay. He's got Nicholas Hitch on the back.
Yeah. Get a bit of that, man. After Police was film 82.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Film 82. Ooh,
why not?
Peter Ustinov's discussing his new film, Evil Under the Sun.
Ooh.
When I was filming in Cairo, I met a Swiss lady with a lisp. She came up to me and she said, Buffalo Mama! Bravo, Peter. More of that, please. You're amazing.
Barry Norman with my favourite thing when he said...
And why not?
He said, when following us this evening is Come Dancing, which is a good trick if you can do it.
Yeah. Good night.
Nice.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Have you ever heard the full theme tune? The stum.
Yeah, I've got it on my Spotify.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful bit of jazz fun. Jazz
I wish I knew how,
to be
how
free.
It would feel to be free.
Oh, yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Nina Simone.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm. After that was Steptoe and Son. Harold.
Harold. Harold takes drastic measures.
Christ, I think that's when we must kill him.
Oh, Dad.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Dad, the district nurse is here. I've come to euthanize old man Steptoe.
Oh, thank God.
I came here for your tonsillitis, but I'm afraid I've euthanized you. Why did she euthanize everyone?
That's what she used to do.
That's the district nurse's
stamps
right.
Stamps on the tortoise on the way in.
Oh, God, my lovely daughters.
Father, I desperately want to fucking kill you.
I thought you were going to say, Father, I desperately want to fucking get out. That's also the other thing.
Oh, that's the two things. I want you out and
I want to get my leg out. Yeah. I'll get in the way.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll be in the middle.
I'll be in the middle. I'll be your condom. Oh, daddy, really, I'm a dirty young man.
Can I watch, Harold? I got no entertainment anymore.
I know you got to get away. Can I turn up naked and eat shit? No, why would you do that, Dad?
Oh. Are they both still alive at this point?
What when they're doing Steptoe and
Son? Well, that would be
I hope so. It's hard to get corpses to do the script.
Steptoe and Son wasn't going in 1982.
Oh, I see.
It would be a repeat.
Oh, yeah. Oh dear.
Well, I don't want to be in a repeat, Harold. Well, I do. I can do with the extra money.
God, what date is this?
22nd of March.
He died the day before.
No, Harry
H. Corbett.
Harry H. Corbett.
So wow. That's why they're showing it.
Oh, of course.
He died the 21st of March, 1982.
Oh, my word. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Well, I was rather giving
it
up.
No other podcast is going to tell you that.
No. Oh.
No.
The time flight. Basically had a eulogy as part of it.
So you had Adric and then Harry H. Corbin the same week.
What a tough week.
Wow.
What a tough week.
That's shock. I was trying to find Cyberman.
Bloody Khaled's out.
Oh, God. I appear to be Totoroo now. Can I come with you? No, you may not. You filthy little cunt.
Hercules is the target.
Harold, I'm awfully sorry. Harold, I've filled up the zero room with shit. Oh, God.
I just want to invent the Daleks, Harold. Please, let me invent the Daleks.
I'm very sorry, Harold. I've just married all the Daleks. And now I'm on my honeymoon with them. And you need to come with me. Why? I'm very sorry. I've just fucked the Rani. And my husband and wife.
Sorry. That was Steptoe and Son. Then it was a computer program. Okay. Part one. It's happening now.
Whoa.
That's what it says. And the write-up says, don't expect the revolution to happen tomorrow. It's already going on all around us.
Very good.
With Chris Sell.
Chris Sell.
In at the deep end. This week, I'll be trying brain surgery. No formal training.
The best episode of In at the Deep End is when he goes to Oliver Reed's house to be taught acting.
Oh, that's amazing.
So fucking
And
funny.
Oliver's just like, no.
He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, so good.
And he does that Geordie accent, doesn't he? He goes, yeah. What on earth was that?
BBC Two started at 6:40 with Open University. Courses include domes, sequence arrays, and assassins. Oh. I mean, he's got the word ass in.
Domes.
Domes.
He's got domes. Some promise.
Yeah.
It's just going to be domes, isn't it?
Yeah. As in they look quite like Taj Mahal, though, don't they?
I'll ask him, are you right with... that's the best you're going to get.
Millennium Dome?
Then it was closed down.
Yeah, fair enough.
Millennium Dome, 1982.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, would it?
No.
No.
So, yeah, closed. Open University closed down.
Yeah.
Then it was Maths Help. Oh, and it was closed down.
Oh, God.
Jesus H. Corbett. 5:10, can you hear me? A school for the deaf in St. Albans.
Oh.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And then 5:06 was Granny.
I lived in St. Albans for a while.
Did you?
I wasn't deaf.
Were you deaf? Were you there?
No.
Yeah, okay. Granny. 5:06. Granny. Mm. A series of 18 parts, part 12. Granny has had enough.
District nurse at the door.
Ding dong. District nurse here.
I've probably euthanized your granny.
Travelling through other fictional TV shows to euthanize the main characters. For Christ's sake. Then it was Riverside with Nikki Picasso.
Oh, we've had Nikki Picasso.
We've had Nikki Picasso. Yeah. Riverside. It's like really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got music on. Who have we got on? Altered Images.
Oh, my goodness.
Claire Grogan.
Happy
Claire
Grogan.
Birthday. Yeah.
Oh, Red Dwarf.
She was the first Kachansky.
Kachansky.
And then they replaced her with the other one, and Chris Barry left. No one liked it.
Chloe, yeah. Chloe something, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to put my hands right up. Never really liked Red Dwarf.
I'll join you in that.
Yeah.
Never really
liked
it.
I know. I liked a couple. I liked the backwards episode. That's
I liked a few bits and bobs. Yeah, but I never really liked it.
On the Better Than Life podcast, where they get comedians really talking about Red Dwarf. Now, I love it.
Nothing to do with them. Yeah. I really found the cat so annoying,
didn't
and I really found not Rimmer. I just found
Craig Charles's
characters so annoying. It's annoyed me.
But he likes curry and beer, Paul.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love it so much.
That's fine.
Please have me on the Better Than Life podcast.
Also,
no,
you're
not leaving this podcast. You're staying here.
Fair enough.
I thought it had a little golden period with the talking toaster and the...
Yes.
All that was good.
Brilliant story ideas.
Fun fact, the talkie toaster was the same actor who played the original Crichton.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. He was a bit weird looking there, wasn't he? I mean, in the makeup.
Yeah.
It won't look better on Robert Llewellyn.
Yeah.
I just never took to it, unfortunately.
There you go. That's interesting.
Yeah, strange.
But, you know, if without Red Dwarf, we wouldn't have Robert Llewellyn's Scrapyard Challenge. So.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Or that spitting image video, having it off, where you see his penis.
Whose penis?
Robert Llewellyn.
Do you?
Yeah.
His actual penis.
His actual penis. No.
If you want to enjoy the lemonade, you got to eat the lemons.
When you draw the lemonade, you got to see a penis.
It's got a Johnny on it. It's horrible.
Why are we seeing Robert Llewellyn's penis?
Life gives you lemons. See Robert Llewellyn's penis.
Because I love spitting image, and it's the having it off video, which is all about sex.
But it's got an actual penis in it.
And then they got it's interspersed with real comedians doing bits. Yeah, so it's like Mark Thomas and Robert Llewellyn.
You see his penis?
You don't see Mark Thomas's penis.
Hang on, Robert Llewellyn showed his erect penis.
Not his erect, no, but it had a...
flaccid.
It had a Johnny on it.
Why is he showing...
why is he showing his Johnny to penis?
Because it was a little sketch about, how do you get rid of a condom?
Oh, I see. All right. That's still weird, though. I preferred him when he was the man in Bottom who had a wooden leg carved by Naked Balinese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I watched him do it. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
So that was Riverside. Then it was a tall story. Then it was like called a tall story, and it just says, "How Salman Rushdie pickled India."
No idea.
Not sure he did, but there you go. And then it was Imagined Worlds, Sex and Pleasure. Doris! Oh, Doris! Oh, my dreams have come true! God, blimey! An hour and a half of sex and pleasure! Go down your sisters, murderer! Kill yourself! Arrange your own funeral, because I'll be at home! Fucking it, haven't gone for an hour and a half! Warmed up at the microwave previously, and then come back and all's forgiven! God, blimey! That's Imagined Worlds. Sex and pleasure. after that was Marty Kane. It's Marty Kane. Oh. And she's got guests on. Barry Cryer and Chris Rea.
Wow.
Lurches in tone, isn't it? Imagine he's doing Road to Hell on the Marty
Sounds
Kane.
Sounds like you might have a complaint if you've got a Rhea Cryer.
After Marty Kane, it was the Mike Harding Show. Crikey. And then it was a documentary called The Devil's Music, A History of the Blues.
Ooh.
And that was your television delights on BBC One and BBC Two.
But why?
But why?
Why?
Why would you be watching Time Flight when you could be watching any of those fine programmes? We begin with stock footage of a Concorde.
Yeah.
Now, in 1982, you couldn't get more exciting than Concorde.
No.
I mean, I'm still excited seeing them.
Yeah.
So glad I wasn't alive then.
Well, you've seen from the television schedules, there was nothing more exciting than that. Now, the captain tells everyone they're flying supersonic.
Whoa.
And everyone keeps calling it, now I know it's Speedbird. I thought they were saying Speedboat Concorde. What? So I put the no wonder there's confusion. So there's total RT breakdown on Speedboat Concorde.
Yeah.
The guy back in the base can't hear them. Mm. But they think they're about to approach London, and then the Concorde vanishes.
Whoa!
What?
And before you can even think, what? TF.
Yeah.
We cut back to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
We cut to the TARDIS with Nyssa and Tegan in a state of sad mourning.
They're mourning little Adric.
Miss Adric. Mm. I like the way they go, one of them goes, "Hi, Miss Adric." And the other goes, "Hi, Miss Adric." And the doctor sort of waits for a bit and goes, Yeah, I do as well.
And she's like, Are you going to still carry on, like, walking like a human being when Adric's dead? So like, I am.
Might actually start wanking now, the first time.
Are you going to breathe oxygen? Adric's dead, Doctor.
Yeah, I know. She says, she does all that. You could have saved him. You could have changed time.
Yeah.
She wants him to go back, and he's like, there are some rules that cannot be unbroken.
Yeah.
He gave his life saving others. Mm. And he was annoying.
Also, I'm not sure who he saved. Really?
Well, yeah. Well, he said, without him, the human race wouldn't exist.
Mm. Well, that's true, I guess. But
kind of.
Could have not.
He did kill loads of dinosaurs, though.
So he did.
He's a bit like Hitler.
He's Dinosaur Hitler.
He's pretty Dinosaur Hitler, isn't he?
He's Dinosaur Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Happy now?
Happy now, Andrew.
Happy now? Dinosaur Oppenheimer.
So he's in hell.
He's in hell. There was a T-Rex who was about to cure cancer. Literally on the brink.
Yeah.
He'd done the PowerPoint spreadsheet. He had his little glasses on his nose.
And little pointy sticks, obviously he's got tiny arms.
Yeah. And he's like, right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the press conference. Sorry it's so hastily put together.
And he's like this, listen, us T-Rexes have had a bad rap over the years, but do you know what I've done? I've got the cure for cancer here.
And it is, oh, fuck! Thanks, Adric.
Thanks, Adric.
And then...
It'd be like that one good joke from Family Guy where the guy in Hiroshima
walking
along and you hear the shh and a monkey falls in. Anyway, he basically lays the rule that they can't.
Yeah.
Because we've had this before with Doctor Who. Why couldn't he just go back and do that?
Yeah, yeah.
They can't.
No.
So they arrive at Heathrow on a carpet.
Mm-hmm. First of all, they appear over the runway for no reason.
Yeah, they float over the runway like a helicopter.
Why is that special effect so bad?
Because they had no money for this.
I know, but it looks better in 1968.
How did they run out of money, though? Because it's a series. Surely they budgeted for a series.
Well, I don't know how it all works, but I'd assume some people like Earthshock, maybe they gave loads of money to Earthshock because it's Cybermen and it's big and it's exciting.
It
and
just
then
looks
like,
so naff.
You can't do that. You can't say, right, here's Doctor Who. We're going to give you enough four episodes, and the other two you're going to have to make yourselves out of blue pieces.
Yeah,
they spent all the money on the Black Orchid, the two part of the Black Orchid.
Right.
They spent $80 million
to clear all that Charleston music. Yeah.
Spent £40,000 on Charleston,
which is Charleston music is cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Let's get the Charleston in.
Oh, I see.
Ooh.
And then you dance like it when you've snorted.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I've never done.
I've never partaken myself. No. I wouldn't know.
I imagine you probably.
No, but I'll probably just put it on a Muzak or something. Yeah. I'm frivolo daff.
So the security arrive, and the doctor goes, actually, speak to unit, department C-19.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you who I am. Mm-hmm. So they bring him. There's no more Brig.
No.
Is someone Sir Mark or something?
Yeah, Sir Marcus. So not appearing in this film.
Don't see him.
No.
Because they couldn't afford another actor.
What did you think of the
beautiful
materialisation? Beautiful, isn't it?
It's not bad.
No, it's beautiful.
TARDIS looks fucked, though. I know. Looks like it's got woodworm.
But in parts 2, 3, and 4, I think in total there's about 20 TARDIS materializations and dematerializations. Yeah.
It's your own personal Doris. My own personal Doris.
So much hot TARDIS action in this.
Anyway, shut up. Unit, Sir Marcus says, like, listen, even though I'm not in this, you've got to cooperate with the Doctor fully.
Yeah, really handy.
Yeah. So they find out that one of the Concords has disappeared. One of our Concords
is missing. We also have that written down.
Ustinov comes in as a Chinaman for some reason. So the Concords have disappeared before the landing, and the Doctor goes, I wonder if that's what brought us here.
Yeah.
So then he says, I tell you what, I've got an idea. Let's fly another Concorde.
Let's fly another
Concorde. Put a TARDIS in it.
Anything could have happened to that first Concorde. Yeah,
could have crashed.
Yeah.
Let's fly another Concorde. Yeah. Also, let's put the TARDIS in the Concorde. You don't need to use the TARDIS. Yeah.
Makes me think.
Also, can you put it in sideways like freight and make me really upset? Don't put it in sideways like it's a fucking
piece swimming of pool. Must have gone everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. Yeah, because his app rack falls down, so everything's gone down. Chemical toilet's empty. Yeah. All of Tegan's dildos. 40,000 of them rolling around.
All their fucking Barbies.
Yeah, all the Barbies.
I'd love it if they didn't go on that Concorde and then that Concorde vanished and then the doctor was like, send another Concorde.
Send.
Well, is there anything to be Concorde. Said for more Concorde? Yeah.
All right, send a hovercraft now.
Just throwing stuff in the sky. Just
ends with the doctor going, well.
I get a message from Khalid saying, stop sending stuff.
By episode 4, he's like, right, send that boy on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Send Eddie Kidd.
Yeah.
Send Maureen from driving school. Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Disappear.
So.
Just a bin. It's basically just a bin now.
Wheelie bin. Wheelie bin full of midgets.
That man who was having a bath in a wheelie bin.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Clips will last the summer of mine when they're in baths going down hills. Send that in.
Throw it all in. We'll fill it up and then we'll see where they are.
So we meet Captain Stapley.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his crew. Mm. They're going to fly the Concorde.
Yeah.
The Concorde looks cramped as fuck, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. It always was, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really tight, really tight.
I wouldn't have liked that very
much. No.
So the doctor gets in the TARDIS, as you say, it's sideways, and he presses a button and stabilises it.
Yep.
Mm.
They're like, could have done with this on Kestra Valva.
Yeah. Mm. Who's knocked all my fucking dildos over the floor, right?
Also, they're all rolling, so they're like a real hazard. Yeah. Like, Nissa slips, breaks her neck.
We should have a mime artist come in and go, whoa.
There's no need to put it on its side as well. There's room to put it upright. Don't put it on the side. It's a really nice idea of the doctor going into the TARDIS, like, oh, that's funny. They just press the button immediately. And like, boo.
Yeah.
And also, now you're in the TARDIS now. Just take the TARDIS.
Just take the TARDIS.
Fucking awesome.
It doesn't make any sense. The plane takes off, and the doctor tells them the last plane probably got lost in a time slip.
Probably. Yeah. Or a time contour, as it's sometimes called.
Everything seems fine with this one. Mm. And the guy in charge of everything, he throws like, see? Load of nonsense. And then it disappears.
It disappears.
But they arrive at Heathrow and they're all like, yeah, it's fine.
Well, seems absolutely fine. Heathrow looks perfectly normal.
And then the doctor says, I think we've flown through a time corridor to 140 million years in the past.
Mm. They're like, all right, Grandad, what have you had? Too many paracetamol?
And then suddenly, bloop, 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 they're in the middle of a studio.
Wow.
And he says it was a powerful psychokinetic field.
Yeah.
Sure.
For budgetary reasons.
Yeah. They're still actually on Heathrow, aren't they? But Heathrow 140 million years ago in the Jurassic Age.
He says there might
they mention Jurassic a lot, and you go, oh, I wonder how many dinosaurs are getting done.
Well, he says there might be a few brontosauruses knocking about, and I was like, oh, we're not going to see any there, are we? So I don't know why I'm getting excited.
All you do see, you just they look up, and there's Adric in his spaceship heading towards them. Oh, fucking hell, Adric!
Shit.
You can't do anything right!
And he's just going, I'm so sorry. What? He looks at points and goes, what are you doing here?
Is this not what you want?
Well, if fans of Adric, there might be something about him later.
Oh, yeah.
See his bumhole.
Yeah. His style for mathematical excellence.
He calls it his waterhouse.
It's his bladder.
His wheelhouse.
It's his bladder. So the Nissa sees dead people.
Yeah.
Everybody who enjoyed this episode. Mm.
Just by the duty free.
All Hull and Toblerones. So the mysterious Khalid is watching them. Why are you laughing? It's the mysterious Khalid.
It's the mysterious Khalid.
Why do you look angry?
Why would we laugh?
Yeah.
So you see this sort of fat.
Yeah.
Indian like Swami doctor. By the way, he speaks, but also he's got grey clay face.
Yeah.
What could be weird about? Oh, I wonder if it's the fact that it's a fucking master again, and you go.
Spoiler alert!
Why are you talking like an Indian doctor?
What was his name in the credits this episode? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Well, he's
Khalid.
Sometimes he's Neil Toyne.
Oh, I see.
He was Neil Toyne for this one.
Oh,
yeah.
Mel Torme.
Mel Torme.
not Mel Torme. The crew see the M4.
Yeah.
Is he being a mad Indian?
We'll get there.
Yeah.
It's merely an illusion. Mm. The captain goes, I remember that old Indian rope trick.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
The new crew see the old crew.
Yes.
Talking about New York.
Oh, yeah.
And then they turn into stone and just, well, there's
well, is stone, it stone people or is it mashed they're, potato or like cat litter?
I don't know. It's not good, though, is it?
Also, the special effect is bubble bath.
Literally bubbles.
Yeah.
It's just so like... Oh.
You know what? It would have been cheaper to do not do this episode.
Just not do the effect. Just, they just walk off. Just walk off camera.
So I don't understand. The previous episode ends on like the biggest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For decades. And yes. Then you follow it up with time flight.
I know. There's a bubble bath and a smoke anus.
Mm. It's got real.
It's like a smoky ring piece that appears
Caves
over
Angelani
you.
Twin dilemma. Yeah. They didn't learn the lesson.
Christ. No.
So the Cali sings to himself, Shiraz, in a mildly racist way.
Yep.
He's basically
mildly.
He's basically Matt Lucas in any episode of Come Fly With Me.
Yes, it's just so like, what the hell?
So then the doctor then, you think this can't get any more scary. The doctor is then overcome with bubbles.
Yep.
Cliffhanger.
It's so bad.
So then, next episode, Nyssa senses things in the bubbles because she's a. Teleprompter, what's she called?
She's a
auto cue
polymath.
Yeah. I must say
she's a telecaster.
Looking for Councillor Troy.
Positives. Sarah Sutton, who does not often get a lot to do in the two. I think this is one of her best performances. Yeah. She gets quite a lot to do, and she's good when she gets to do it.
Yes, that's true.
I'd have given her more to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In general, rather than just making her pass out in the TARDIS.
So the doctor then just sits up and goes, "Oh, that was weird."
It's fine. And goes, "Oh, don't worry, they are just plasmatrons."
Yeah, plasmatrons.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fine. And everyone's like,
talks about it like you get them at B&Q.
Yeah, and everyone's like, also, everyone in this is like, what? And then when they tell them, they go, yeah, all right. And you're like, at no point are you screaming, going, where am I? They're all like,
well, there's one man who's got a case. Not like that. There's one man who is a doubter.
Just appears.
Professor Hater just appears.
Professor Hater, don't listen to the hater.
He thinks they're in Russia.
Yeah.
He thinks the plane was hijacked and everyone is under some sort of mass hallucination.
Mm. Yes.
But he managed to beat it thanks to his strong mental capacity.
Strong mental capacity.
Yeah.
And they inform him that they're 140 million years in the past and he goes, no, not.
No, not.
So that's where you need a dinosaur come by and going, all right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You want something.
Yeah.
Dinosaur in a red baseball cap skateboarding.
Just a big pile of dino poo that he sits in.
Or a footprint.
This chair looks
just
comfortable.
Just a dinosaur footprint.
All dino footprint.
All right.
He doesn't need to sit in a big thing of shit.
Oh my God, dinosaurs. We've got to keep moving because there's dinosaurs.
Exactly, dinosaurs.
None of that.
Nope. No. Couldn't afford a footprint. So the doctor and the captain want Hater to show them where everyone was taken because he's from the previous crew.
Yes.
The Khalid, mysterious Khalid again, watches on.
Why
is he doing this?
Nyssa suddenly, I can't breathe.
And she also gets matey bubbled.
She gets matey bubbled, but she gets trapped in the matey bubbles, and then she starts speaking as if she's possessed.
Yeah.
She says, "The control shall be resisted," which is talking to everybody who wants to turn over.
Everyone's going, Emmerdale's on, you know.
Where's the district nurse on? I want to see some death. So she gets covered in bubbles, and the doctor says he's going to go on and find out with the professor.
To that citadel they've just
and
got.
And he says,
that citadel.
Captain, you stay with... Nyssa, and then Tegan's like, you know, it'd make more sense, Doctor,
if I stayed here.
Maybe I could do a couple of big rippers and break her.
Maybe I could rip out the matey bubbles off her with the power of my farts.
So she stays with her. Yeah. So the professor still thinks they're in Russia and there's mind games or projection.
Yeah,
he's also a big chicken. He wants to run away immediately as soon as anything happens. And he thinks the doctor, he's a lunatic.
A lunatic,
this man.
The doctor explains that the bubble men are all busy with their energy on Nyssa.
Right.
So they can walk straight in with no resistance.
Handy that, isn't it?
What?
Really handy.
At this point, I'm just going, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not, what is more?
So then the doctor goes and he finds his TARDIS. And that's where the Khalid finds, the mysterious Khalid.
The mysterious Khalid.
You mean an Arabian conjurer?
Arabian conjurer called the mysterious Khalid.
Yeah.
The doctor thinks Khalid is a fraud.
Yeah.
He says he's using psychotronic energy.
How does he work that out?
Meanwhile, Stapley and Hater attempt to break the other humans free of their illusion. They're being set to work.
Yeah.
Trying to break through to the
inner sanctum.
Inner sanctum.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't clear.
No, which looks like a giant pasty.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, but they still think they're at Heathrow. They're like, hello, sir, if you just take your seat. someone's being sick.
Yeah. Sorry, the toilet is occupied at the moment. Please put your trays in the upright position.
They're on that plane, the EasyJet plane, with a man, the big poo, and they had to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that woman's like, that guy over there is not real. Mm. But if that she was there, maybe she was having a vision of Khalid, the mysterious Khalid.
Mysterious. Yeah. What, you mean the Arabian conjurer?
Yeah.
But the captain begins to fall under the same trance.
Oh, no.
And the professor snaps him out of it.
Snaps out of it, though, doesn't he?
And then the captain snaps his men out of it, too, one by one.
Good, thank goodness.
Including Biltong.
Mm. Yeah,
who was later in EastEnders.
Yes. And all the previous crew, they're all trying to open up the sanctum now, aren't they? Trying to pry it open.
Actor did the first gay kiss on television, I believe.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah. I always thought that Biltong was a bit of a jerky, to be honest.
Hey! Nice. Very good. So then the Khalid, the mysterious Khalid,
the Arabian conjurer.
The Arabian conjurer. He's very interested in the TARDIS because he thinks he can use it to control the
universe. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the plasmatrons appear to stop the Heathrow lads, which frees Nyssa.
Good.
Thank goodness.
She says they need to go and help the Doctor immediately.
Yeah. Quickly.
Threat?
The Heathrow crew are brought to the mysterious conjurer Khalid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who throws up a barrier.
He does.
Ooh. And then I've written, what did he eat?
Well, he's got to throw up a lot more.
I'll throw up a barrier. I've done my own joke there.
Yeah.
Nyssa, with her abilities of empathy,
yes,
is able to walk through lots of visual monsters. So we get a couple of creatures.
The visitation.
Yeah, the visitations.
Yeah,
yeah. You get the stone monster from
Stones of Blood.
Melkor.
And then you get Adric.
And then you get the worst monster of all.
What do you want? And they kill him again, which is good.
Just for good measure.
Just to make sure.
It is proper you killed the zombie Flanders. Exactly. He was a zombie. Yeah. It's unloading, like, what, you know, machine gun.
Literally materialising the TARDIS on top of him.
I've never seen a ghost be stabbed 87 times. Nyssa and Tegan break a rock that kills a double-headed flying penis.
Yeah.
It interrupts the power source of the Khalid, and he starts melting in snot.
Why does snot green snot?
I don't
know.
Horrible,
why
isn't
does
it?
That happen to him?
That must have been really horrible for him to do as well, because it's just like a pipe, obviously, going through. Just pouring out snot.
It turns out that... Well, you better...
It's like the young ones,
I didn't
Well, Hater goes up to the console and he goes, oh, you talk about psychotronics. What about
electronics?
What about bonkatronics?
Yeah, what about also, psychotronics? Yeah.
Also, he goes, what about electronics? And then the doctor checks and he goes, that's actually circuits of a TARDIS. So it's a fucking Hater. Knowing
Khalid, and the doctor goes, I don't understand. And then Khalid, mysterious conjurer, says, that's the thing, doctor, you never do. Pulls off his mask and says, it's the master.
It's the master, everyone. But, so... So, was that a mask he was wearing then?
Yes.
Why did he put green snot in the mask?
We don't know.
Why, for the love of fuck, has he spent whatever amount of time he's had dressed up as this before he actually needs to meet anyone? Because he could just be the master getting on with it. Why is he going, hello, I'm an Indian man? Why is he doing this by himself?
He's a racist.
He's a racist.
It must be because the master is a racist.
Well, it makes sense. He's an evil person.
But why is he Why is he doing that voice
for our benefit?
Because it wouldn't make an ape of the difference to all the passengers if he was still the master.
No, they wouldn't.
It's
know,
only when
they?
The doctor turns up. And of course, again, it's the first time they met him within 2 seconds. Ha ha, it's me.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
It's like Hannibal from the A Team.
Yeah. So why bother putting a mask on that bleeds green snot?
He got a cold. You know when you like sometimes you've got, you know, you're wearing a mask and you've got a cold as well.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Anyway, it's the master.
Master. It's cliffhanger.
The master.
Oh, shit. It's the master.
So then the doctor realises the master is not playing a trick. He's stranded there after what happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, from Castrov Arvar.
So he needs the TARDIS to escape.
Yeah.
So he demands the TARDIS key to get him, to get himself into the sanctum, or he'll kill everyone. Hater, meanwhile, sees the TARDIS vanish and thinks he's hallucinating.
It is the point where the doctor's almost like, what do you need, Master?
It gets to that point. Like, yeah. All right, what do you want? All right, have it.
That's literally in episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he nicks the TARDIS, and they're like, "Oh God, we're stuck here." And the Doctor's like, "No, I left the coordinate override switch on."
Very good.
Clever, but the Master goes, "Oh, look, the coordinate override switch is on."
He has a TARDIS.
So he needs this power source in the Citadel.
Yeah.
So he created a time corridor to get human slaves to help break the chamber open.
So literally, he's
do
just...
it yourself, you lazy fuck.
Also, do you really have to go through all that to get people from our century back via a Concorde to his place to open a door?
Mm.
Surely just a laser that opens the door.
Or a big digger.
Or a big digger. Or a machine. Yeah. And also, while you're doing all that, do you maybe want to not dress up and pretend to be an Indian... conjurer? Why an Indian conjurer?
Who faced with that problem of breaking into something goes right?
You're the master.
My
go,
next five steps are buy a robe.
Exactly. Buy a robe. Practice a slightly racist accent.
Do you think this is what Dick Emery used to do?
Find people.
Need a bit of gazebo.
Yeah.
Find people. Find people. Bring a lot of people on a Concorde to an alien planet. Pretends to be an Arabian conjurer to put them at their ease.
Why not?
But have a grey slate face.
9/11 the Concorde into the thing you're trying to break into.
Yeah.
9/11.
It is now a verb.
Yeah.
And the Doctor finds the other crew and they're all no longer trancing.
Yeah.
He tells them they have to break through the chamber anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Hayter tells
the mood
them to.
For trancing. Romance.
Shabazz, Shabazz. Hayter gives them all a tip to stop them being hypnotized again. You have to concentrate on pure thought.
Yes.
Mm. So, like, fish and chips. Chaz and Dave making love to each other.
The love between two men when they're camping.
Yeah.
Hayter would have voted Brexit, wouldn't he?
Oh, well, fuck yeah.
What Sooty's legs might look like.
If he wears suspenders.
Yeah.
We don't know. He could wear knickers and suspenders and tights. Oh, bloody hell.
So think about that. Just think about that for a while.
When you ride a pony and it says no, does no mean no? Hayter, you're right.
Sweep might have a cock piercing. We don't know.
We don't know.
He could have a tattoo on his bottom.
Yes. Of me. We don't know.
We don't know.
Perhaps of a heart.
We don't know.
Pure thought.
Would you like to join me? No. No, you're all right, mate. No. Shame. How many testicles do you think I could fit in my mouth? At the moment, we don't know. But crucially, we soon will. Oh, Mr. Hayter.
Oh, God. Anyway. You're worse than Colleen.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just being inappropriately Indian. Yeah.
So the Master returns. And the Heathrow lads sneak aboard. So the captain and Bill sneak aboard. They hide when he comes back in to install some bits.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor finds a red lead, which turns out is an induction loop.
Sure.
He's harnessing the power of the loop in the sanctum.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm just like, this is just fucking word sound.
It's now just a series of just words, isn't it? And you just go, what?
So Hayter and the Doctor find Nyssa and Tegan inside the sanctum, and there's an alive thing in the sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
The Master is having problems with the TARDIS. When he leaves to find more things, the Captain and Bilton sabotage it again.
Ah!
They pull loads of stuff out that could kill everybody.
Yeah.
They turn it into a functioning nuclear bomb.
Self-destruct set.
Then they find all that the power source is, and I had to write this down, an immeasurable intelligence at the centre of a psychic vortex, all-seeing, all-knowing.
It's just a lot of words.
What?
Yeah,
it's a lot of words.
Context for anything.
So the Master sends the Captain and Bilton off in the TARDIS. Fuck you. And they start hovering above like a helicopter. So then Hayter finds some figurines. The Zerifin, and again, I wrote this down, highly developed creatures, beings with immense mental power. The figurines are the work of a tissue compression eliminator.
No!
Like the Master
like
used
the
to
master.
Yeah.
Sorry, for those who don't know, he's saying the Khalid, the Arabian conjurer.
The Master.
It's the Master.
The Master. Yeah.
The Professor... because they need someone to take to meld with the Zerifin.
Yeah, because that has to happen.
And the Professor goes, Doctor, the chance of inheriting the wisdom of all the universe is an opportunity I can't resist.
He goes, it will kill you. He's like, yeah, I know,
but for a second, for a split second, I'll know everything.
And then
ask me anything. Okay, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's like, the origin of Easter is...
Well, he does basically come to death.
like he comes goes, to death. Yeah. And then goes on his knees.
Yeah. It's basically the end.
As he has 4 million orgasms. And his balls blow up.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Though.
It's like the crystal skull.
It's called
isn't
the Trouton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the crystal skull. He wants
Kate
to know
Blanchett.
She has
he?
The same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Show me everything. Oh, she's dead.
She's dead.
Yeah.
So, is that the end of Hater? Don't know. They find out that the power source is the great intelligence of lots of Zerafin. And they, oh, God. The ship that they were in, the Zerafin appears as this, like, oh, he looks like a kind of a Dobby.
Yeah.
And he says that they were crashed in a ship. And to survive against high radiation levels, they took the form of energy in the gestate.
They all got to, yeah.
However, when the master came, his presence caused them to develop a split personality. Some became master.
Why did
enablers.
His presence cause them to become a split personality? What? Because he was an Indian conjurer.
Because some of them just didn't like Indians. Have you seen who's moved in? Look at the Ace of Spades. Terrible racist. Have you seen who's in Citadel 32? Oh dear. So yes, oh god,
it's just bollocks.
So when the master arrives, Zarak the Zerafin has transferred to the master in the TARDIS, who has perfected the induction loop.
Yeah,
which means, as the doctor says, the master has finally defeated me. Meow.
And you just go, Peter, I'm so sorry for you.
Working so hard.
Do this.
All the actors are sort of working hard.
Yeah. They are. They really are.
But at the beginning of the next episode, Tegan and Nissa say, that can't be so. There must be something we can do. And he goes, yeah, we could smash our way out. Because they're trapped in the Citadel.
Yeah.
And then the TARDIS appears. Because Captain and Bilton are in it. And then Hater just walks in and goes, all right, let's sort this out. And he gets them back in. And then
they go, right, how do we explain that? Yeah. He says, oh, he's an echo of the past. Oh, okay, that's fine then.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So now at one point, he's like, what's that? Oh, there's drafts coming, and the draft. It's also TARDIS. just.
So the doctor's very pleased to see the captain in Bilton. He lives in a Bilton area. So after speculating that the professor is now with the Zerafin, they arrive outside the sanctum and meet the other Concorde pilot. It tells them the master's left in his TARDIS with all of the other crew.
Why at what point are they taking all the wheels off?
Well, they need the air pressure.
Yeah.
We'll get there. The master has used his chameleon circuit to make his TARDIS look like a Concorde, but it seems like
I thought that was the Concorde that he'd stolen.
Apparently, that model of the Concorde was a toy they bought in a
what?
Shop. Yeah, imagine that.
Is it? I thought they got from the same industrial thing that they got the tank from Robot.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
you know the same.
Toys R Us.
Unfortunately, it's a factory that makes full size things that look like tiny toys. They closed down after that. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. The master's using the community circuit, but it seems he's stuck there thanks to the captain's sabotage.
By accident
by
as well.
Accident. Yeah,
yeah. The master can't work that out either.
The doctor fakes to be angry with the captain.
Yes.
Captain, you brilliant man.
Yeah.
I am now going to fuck you up the bum. Doctor, I think we've got more pressing things. the doctor proposes a truce to the master. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll help you.
I feel just sorry for you now.
I've suddenly decided I'd like to help you in your nefarious schemes.
Yeah. It's basically the end of any Ricky Gervais script.
Yes.
Sorry for an awful person. They sell repair your TARDIS in exchange for dropping the field and releasing the hostages.
Yeah.
And the master goes, yeah, all right. I can't see this being anything that won't be bad against me.
Yeah.
So then the master agrees and... when his TARDIS is ready, he leaves.
You now watch them do admin.
Basic
admin.
The doctor
grabbing components, swapping them.
Concorde. They're using the tires.
In and out.
Yeah, pressure.
Just doing admin.
And then he brings them back to Heathrow. And then he says, well, I hope the master's going to have a nice time. And they're like, well, what do you mean, doctor? Fucking bastard. And he goes, well, I reprogrammed the temporal limiter, so the master will arrive later than we did. And they'll go, he'll go back to the Zerifin's home planet.
Mm. Yeah.
And he says, a straight six into the pavilion, if I do say so.
Ho-ho!
Not a nice climate for the master, no. Stuck there for good, hopefully.
That'll learn him.
Yeah. Program the TARDIS to materialise in the master's own arse. So he'll be, for infinity, up his own arse.
Inside his own arse, farting himself out. Into himself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called a time hoop.
It's called the time tank.
So then he says goodbye to Stapley, the captain, and all the rescued passengers. And then there's also.
By the way, are all fine.
Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah.
Not one of them is going. What happened? What
was and then when they're out, I'll tell you what I've written here. It looks freezing when they're on that roof.
Oh God.
It's freezing.
Yeah, bleak.
So then for some reason, Tegan goes, I'm going to have a wander around.
Lovely little wander.
The wander down memory line.
She got to play being a stewardess again, didn't she? When they were getting everyone in. So she's like, I'm going to have a walk around. And then she comes back and the doctor and Nyssa have gone.
No!
And the guy goes, I thought you were going with the doctor. And she goes, so did I.
Well, no, she goes, so did I.
That's the end.
So did I.
Right, we have got 18 minutes.
Oh, okay, right.
So let's score.
Stop crying now, can't we?
Can we score it out of Mysterious Khalids?
Yeah, of course. The
Indian
Kundras.
Indian Kundras.
Yeah.
So I'll go first.
You have to go first.
It shouldn't have been made. It's basically like the day the clown died. If cried even. There's just nothing to it. No substance. It all looks shit. It all looks cheap. It's a waste of time. Waste of everybody's effort. Yeah. Shouldn't have bothered. I'm going to give it 5.
Bye. Paul?
No, it's to you next.
Okay.
I'm last for this one.
I struggle to... Because I watched the extras on this, on the DVD. the extras, everyone going, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like they do say, we really like being on Concorde. And I think that is the strength of this, is the first episode. And because I think the first episode is the only one I think that is thing, I'm going to give it 25.
That might be your lowest score.
Yeah.
That's your lowest, isn't it?
Yeah.
100.
Fair enough.
Because it's got so much hot TARDIS action.
Oh, no.
You've gone minus before, and you've gone plus 100. 100.
You've
mark it down.
100.
Because there are 50 dematerializations and materializations, and I fucking love it.
Can I just say, calm down. You've given time flight.
100 Indian conjurers.
You didn't even give City of Death 100.
100 Indian conjurers. So much TARDIS action.
There's about 30.
It does not deserve more than 30. What have you done?
I think.
There's so much.
You're
TARDIS.
So pleased with yourself. What have you done?
I think Paul's favourite story is just the TARDIS materialising.
On YouTube, you can watch every single TARDIS materialisation, dematerialisation.
That's your favourite episode.
That's my favourite episode.
I'm a bit cross. What have you done?
You've gone minus before.
That's because they deserved it. This is time flight.
Time flight deserves 100 Indian conjurers from me because there's about 8 entire minutes of hot, hard and heavy TARDIS action. Endless shots of it materialising and dematerialising, and I love it.
I did not see.
No.
Me
I
not.
Thought you'd more likely to be 100. This is what they call on the trade a heel turn.
Yeah.
I thought we were due one.
Well, did our correspondents love it?
Ben Thomas says, time flight. I've been on a plane with Michael Cashman. Flying back from honeymoon, our plane was diverted to Bordeaux to pick up some stranded passengers, including the ex-EastEnders actors and MEP.
Oh.
We didn't get home until 3 a.m. as a result, and when we got there, we discovered that my dad had painted our front door while we were away, and it was stuck shut, and he hadn't let it properly dry. We had to force entry as a result. The colour of the door, TARDIS blue. Coincidence? I don't fucking think so. Fun fact, the main reason Matthew Waterhouse got a cameo in Time Flight is so they could list him in the Radio Times and hide the fact they'd killed him in the previous story.
Yes, that is correct.
Martin says...
There was no analysis of Time Flight.
Next time you go on holiday, Ben, send us some photos. Fucking waste of time. We got very little time here, Ben. You've just said there's a fucking what I did on my holidays.
So
my family and other animals. Yeah.
Normally,
thanks very much.
Nobody's talking about something.
I know.
Anus,
I was expecting it to be
it's
like
actually quite refreshing.
I was expecting it to be ending Bukkake or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking door
penny
shot.
Well, he did force his No, his front door in. That doesn't mean anything, does it?
That's fine. The force bit's not fine.
No.
So, Ben, you might want to report yourself to the police. Martin says, first TV drama allowed to film in Heathrow. Also, more time flight, more if you say it doesn't exist, it can't hurt you. Film them entry this time. The manipulator being the master seemingly covered in blueberry yogurt who's pinching Concord loads of gullible humans to attack Ice Age walls with crowbars for reasons. Nonsense DIY ensues. 25 bubbly guards. Sorry,
25. There you go.
Yeah, not fucking 100. Nick Burns, time fly. I was so excited as a kid as I thought of this one. Doctor Who and the Concorde, both of my passions.
Yes.
Together. Love the TARDIS and the hole on its side. Hoping to get, having to get in from the top. My God, the rest of it's shit, though. He says crap, but I put shit. 15. Oh, surprises the master again out of 100. 15. Not 100.
I love it. It's that meme. It's the we all love a bad boy, not a fucking terrorist, though, is it? Yeah, so exactly. We all love TARDISes. Not fucking giving time flight 100.
He's so pleased.
He's so pleased. He's doing the full Nixon double.
Color Horizon Review says time flight. I'm sure we're all looking forward to hearing how John will react when Tom gives this piece of shit 76 out of 100.
Wow.
Tom gave it 25. Paul gave it 100. Tim Coleman, time flight awful, but part of the Who rhyming slang self-review system. Time flight equals utter shite. Spearhead from space, Pertwee's ace. Stones of blood, really good, and you have to say it wrong to make that work. Stones of blood, really good.
Yeah.
Paradise Towers, hot fecal showers. 2 out of 100, I'd rather be on United 93.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Not 100, though, see? Andrew F., it's trying to be a $100 million movie on a budget of 50p, but I don't mind that at all. In fact, I prefer it to the more highly praised Earthshock.
At Shut
least
up.
Sam Bishop. You gave it 100. We haven't done Earthshock, have we?
No, it was a lost episode.
It was one of our losties.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk about those times.
I know.
I wonder what score Paul gave Earthshock. At least it's ambitious, although a bit bloody rude of them to all get over Adric dying so quickly. Matt Cunnington says beige. Everything about this story is so beige. Yes. The story could have worked, but let down by shit effects and the master doing a crap racist Ali Bongo impression. Last story of the season, and we get this pile of shit. 10 foam monsters out of 100. Pope of Mope. Tegan gets back to Heathrow. Now get out of there as fast as fucking possible. Her uniform must have reeked by this point. Master's doing his best Jeremy Beadle again. By this point, I'm surprised he isn't turning up as a Rastafarian traffic. Very, very good. Bobby Peru says, Fanogov. Fuck me. Even Davidson was seen smirking on camera at the shitness of the script. I'm sorry, but watching Time Flight is the television equivalent of having your balls repeatedly flicked by a wet towel. 100 out of 100, Paul Litchfield. A rather good notion hatched... Oh, sorry, David Trainer says, a rather good notion hatched by Peter, I directed Earthshock Grimwade, but surely you knew the BBC would never do this visual justice. So with an overreaching script and a lack of money, the production team would need to hire a top-notch director, wouldn't they? No, they plumped for Ron Jones, auteur of Black Orchid and Ark of Infinity. Thank goodness we had Ainsley to distract us from the production failings with his gratuitously racist turn as Fu Manchu. The Watcher 63 says, the one with the master has made some questionable cosplay choices for some reason, and J&T got free Concorde tickets.
Underneath
the lack of budget, there is good story. 34 out of 100 bubbles. Richard Tingley says, I'm expecting to be on the wrong side of the fence about this, but I quite enjoy Time Flight.
Oh.
It's mainly nonsense, of course, but it's not the worst sandwich to be brought to the picnic.
Okay.
Finley says, I once accidentally walked in a rough Glasgow pub wearing a Doctor Who t-shirt. After standing at the bar for a few minutes and not getting any service, the most terrifying looking man I've ever seen came up to me and said, here, son, you like Doctor Who then? I said, yes. And he started excitingly telling me that the best ever Doctor Who was the one with the airplane and the ghosts. Just in case you were wondering who Time Flight's target audience was.
The airplane and the ghosts.
And the ghosts.
And the ghosts.
And the ghosts and the airplane.
The ghoulies.
Logan W. says, first episode seemed okay with some decent potential, but the writers pulled off quite the incredible feat of making all that go to complete shit. Another blatantly obvious Master in Disguise story. For little to no reason, with a budget equivalent to a Tesco meal deal. I'd rather watch Dunfrance Dufresne, so Shawshank Redemption, crawl through a sewage for 2 hours and watch this shit again. Unbelievable how much waffle about the xenophils, whatever they're called, was crammed into part three. Got more enjoyment out of the twin dilemma and survival than this. 6 out of 100 overused, unnecessary, unexplained master stories. 5 for the first part and +1 because it finally fucking ended. 100 out of 100.
He's so proud.
Al Knapp, why the fuck would Nyssa and Tegan want Adric back? The Doctor can't do it anyway, probably because he knows he'd do his head in. So that's Pratt around in the Jurassic, failing to notice the Master again. Anticlimactic, enter a series, but at least Tegan isn't really leaving.
Yeah.
Andy Parkinson, Tegan and Nyssa really have a touching moment over Adric, and the Fifth Doctor offers to take them to Disneyland, and they can forget all about him. Concorde hit a nail in Paris and exploded, but here it takes off over the rocks. It's a bit shit. 13 out of 100, please make it stop. I've got so many comments for this one. We've got 8 minutes. Tyrone Mann, it could have been worse. At least the tire did not explode on this one. The brig, it's the highlight of a Doctor Who story is Adric's ghost showing up, then you know it's a stinking story. At least the Doctor has the sense to bail out on Tegan while she's not paying attention. Karma's a bitch, though. She soon tracks him down again in the next season. And finally, Tony Clark says, I once bought a box set containing Time Flight of Ark and Ark of Affinity, two of the worst stories of all time, not featuring Colin Baker. I probably returned it to HMV, claiming there was something wrong with it. Time Flight is staggeringly lame, charmless and weird with the shitty bubble monsters. Ah, Colin is fucking Ark of Bollocks, point still stands. Oh, Colin is in Ark of Bollocks, point still stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he plays Maxil.
Yeah.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah,
quite good in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100.
Well, there we go.
100.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much. We made it just in time. Thanks for your correspondence. Thanks for your support on Patreon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you
for sticking with us when some of us have gone clearly mad. So all that remains for me to say is keep on wheezing and groaning. And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from the mysterious master. Tom, bye.
And me, the Arabian Conjurer.
100.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.